scripture lesson this morning is Zechariah 10, found on page 24 in your pew Bible. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of spring rain. The Lord who makes the storm clouds, who give men showers of rain, to everyone the vegetation in the field. For the teraphim utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies. The dreamers tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for the want of a shepherd. My anger is not against the shepherd, and I will punish the leaders. For the Lord of hosts cares for his flock, the house of Judah. I will make them like his proud steed in battle. Out of them shall come the cornerstone, out of them the tent peg, out of them the battle bow, out of them every ruler. Together they shall be like mighty men in battle, trampling the foe in the mud of the streets. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and they shall confound the riders on horses. I will strengthen the house of Judea. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have compassion on them, and they shall be as though I had not rejected them. For I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. Then Ephraim shall become like mighty warriors, and their hearts shall be glad as with wine. Their children shall see it and rejoice. Their hearts shall exult in the Lord. I will signal for them and gather them in, for I have redeemed them. And they shall be as many as of old. And though I scattered them among the nations, yet in far countries they shall remember me. And with their children they shall live and return. I will bring them home from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them to the land of Gilead and to Lebanon, till there is no room for them. They shall pass through the sea of Egypt, and in the waves of the sea shall be smitten, and all the depths of the Nile dried up. The pride of Assyria shall be laid low, and the scepter of Egypt shall be depart. I will make them strong in the Lord, and they shall glory in his name, says the Lord.
Thank you. So I have a question for you this morning. By show of hands, how many of you own one of these? A cell phone. Yes, most of you, most people here, I would say 9 out of 10 own one. You might not know how to work everything on it, but you own one. And I had this experience a few years back. So maybe you can relate to this because almost everybody has one of these things. Years and years ago, there was a campaign against drunk driving. And still today, we recognize that as a bad thing, and we try to occasionally encourage people not to do that. But recently, there has been another push called driving while distracted. Which is a gentle way of saying get off your phone. Specifically texting while driving. How many people have seen someone texting while driving? Right. And I had this moment in seminary where a friend of mine was driving me someplace and she was texting. This was before the big push that told us this was a bad idea. And I say this with all the love in my heart in case she ever watches this video, she drives like a crazy woman. And she was texting. So these two things combined made me really love life a lot. You know, when I got out of her car, I just loved life. It was one of those things where it's like, you get down on the ground, you kiss the ground, and it's, yes, I survived again. Right, but this time, she was texting and driving way too fast, and I was looking around, and a car had stopped in front of us with a left-hand turn blinker on, and wasn't turning, and I believe, I got to get up here for you guys to get this full effect. I believe my exact words were, "Stop the car!" And she looked up and slammed on the brakes. There's squealing, the smell of rubber, and I didn't get outside of the car to check, but I'm pretty sure there was no more than that amount of space between us and that car when that car finally decided to turn. I saved our lives that day. I just want to, yeah. Yes. There was this idea that these things, for all they do, I've got a flashlight on this thing, my calculator's on this thing, I can text, I can send email, I check Facebook, I can even call somebody with my phone. For all the great things that I can do with this, there is sort of an inherent benign evil that is associated with them. I saw this great thing. I think I might have actually seen it on my phone while I was surfing the internet. But there's this idea where if you get together with friends, you go out to eat, and everybody puts their phone on the table in a pile, and the first person to check it has to pick up the tab. Because have you seen this? Have you seen this? You know, five people at a table doing this, right? To what? To stay connected? Yeah. And this is one of the reasons that when I do a funeral, the first thing that I ask is, please turn off your cell phone. Turn off your cell phone. This is Sunday morning. I'm going to assume that nobody's, you know, that anybody that might be calling you is either A, in another church of their own, or B, sleeping in. And so I'm just going to assume that on Sunday mornings I don't have to do that. But for funerals, I do make a note to say, could you be fully present with us in this holy moment? Could you decide that the outside world is going to wait while we participate in this holy moment where we come and we commune with God, while we praise God, while we remember the person? Could you be present with us? Because being present is about more than being physically present, isn't it? It's about more than just having your body be in a certain place. Being present is about having your mind and your heart in a place as well as your body. Today we are on the downhill slope of our series on the vows of membership for the United Methodist Church. And these, even if you are not a member here, these are great disciplines to apply to your walk of faith. And today we are talking about presence. That was awesome. Thank you so much for that. Seriously, I've never had a phone go off in church, and the one day I mention it. Okay. Oh, my goodness. So, laughter is good too, isn't it? I got to be honest. I was really worried about you guys for like the first 3 months that I was here, because you never laughed. I was bringing my A material, and you guys didn't laugh. So either I got a lot less funny when I moved here, or you guys just didn't have a sense of humor. And I'm glad the ice has thawed there. So you have to be somewhere, right? Right? You have to be somewhere. And when we're talking about presence, your mind has to be somewhere. Your body has to be somewhere. Whether those two things are in the same place at the same time, it is a matter of debate for some people. But you have to be somewhere. You have to be somewhere. And this is one of the interesting things when we talk about being present in faith, when we talk about being present in a holy moment. This verse of our scripture for the day really stuck out to me. It says, "For the teraphim utter nonsense." I had to look this one up. It means idols. Idols. "The teraphim utter nonsense, and diviners see lies." Or in another translation, it would be "use lies." The dreamers tell false dreams and give empty consolation. "Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for want of a shepherd." Now, in this, it's actually, if you look at this verse, you say, they're not actually in want of a shepherd. They have shepherds. They just have lousy shepherds. They have shepherds that are intentionally leading them astray, or, as they say, they're nonsense. And have you encountered any nonsense this week? A few of you might have encountered nonsense, right? And maybe you've seen someone who is being led by nonsense. And their core values are informed by nonsense. I'm not going to get into specifics here today. But I will say that television has a lot to do with this. And there are false shepherds all over the place. There are false shepherds all around us. And they give us, whether it's a good shepherd or a false shepherd, our shepherds, those that we follow, give us our priorities. They give us our priorities. And that causes us to be present in other places other than here. Now, by here, do I mean this building in church? To a certain extent, yes. To a certain extent, yes. But in the broader sense, I'm talking about recognizing that you are in the presence of God no matter where you go. No matter where you go, you are in the presence of God. And so if you're at work, you're in the presence of God. If you come to church, you are in the presence of God. If you are with your family, you're in the presence of God. Are we going to remember this? Or are we going to allow some nonsense to distract us from that fact? Are we going to allow lies, false dreams, an empty consolation to cause us to wander? Or will we always remember that we are in the presence of the Good Shepherd, so that physically, mentally, spiritually, we will behave in such a way as though we are following the Good Shepherd and be present with the Good Shepherd? You have to be somewhere. And so, you're invited to be here. You're invited to be here. Later on in our scripture for the day, it says, I will signal for them and gather them in, for I have redeemed them. And they shall be as many as of old. Though I scattered them among the nations, yet in far countries they shall remember me, and with their children they shall live and return. And return. God is always calling us back. One of the ways I like to think about the word grace is for us, is for God always inviting us in for just a little bit more. God always calling us in and saying, come on, get a little bit more. There's something that's just a little bit deeper. There's something that's just a little bit more. Come on, let me show you. Let me show you. God always inviting us. God saying, please come in. Just a little bit more, just a little bit more. Can you take another step of faith with me today? Can you join me in this moment right now? Can you go a little bit deeper? Can you become a little bit more holy? Can you give up a little bit more sin? Can you do that? Just one more step of faith. God's grace always inviting us in. Always saying that there's more. There's more. And we believe in an infinite God. An infinite God. Of all spaces and times. We believe in a God that is that is older than the universe itself. And so we fool ourselves if we believe we know it all. We fool ourselves if we believe our wisdom is complete. There's always something more. God's inviting us into something deeper. We're invited to be more. And God says, I will signal for them and gather them in. God sends up an invitation and says, come on back. Come on back. Where have you been? Isn't it good to know that we are always welcome in the house of the Lord? That it doesn't matter what we've done? That it doesn't matter how far afield we have strayed? That we're always welcome to come back to God? And that God is always calling us back? We're going to have a meeting this afternoon, 1 o'clock, our church conference. There's a potluck at noon, in case anybody missed that before. There's a potluck at noon, and at 1, we're going to have our meeting. And one of the things we're going to be discussing is our mission, what it is that we are going to be about. And part of that, I believe, is coming back spiritually and saying, what is it that's the core of what we are about here at Ionia First United Methodist Church? And we're going to be talking about that. And so be here, because here is where you're going to grow in Christ. And it's my prayer that here's where you're going to be inspired to go and make the community of Ionia a better place. Or maybe here is where you are going to have a hand in eradicating malaria. Here is where you can take the first steps in changing the world. Or maybe the next steps in making the world a place where God is known. You have to be somewhere, so you're invited to be here. Now, if a party gets thrown and you receive an invitation, you have a choice to make. Where are you going to decide to be? Where are you going to decide to be? Are you going to decide to follow a false shepherd? Are you going to decide that technology is going to be your shepherd or some other thing? What? Here's what we read in Zechariah. God's, I will make them strong in the Lord, and they will shall glory in his name, says the Lord. It's my prayer today that you will decide to be here. Now, around here somewhere, and many of you, if you haven't received one, let us know, and there's some back in the lobby, that there's these golden rod sheets. These golden rod sheets. And this year, we're inviting you to make a pledge. We're inviting you to make five pledges, actually. Five different pledges. And the five pledges are written on that sheet. And so today we're asking you to prayerfully consider how it is that you are going to be present. How are you going to be present? And maybe, it's hard for me to know how you are supposed to make this promise. But you might say something like, I will be at church on Sunday mornings unless I am sick. Or I will be mentally present during worship service because you have a tendency to allow your mind to wander. I know. Right now, your mind's wandering. You didn't even hear what I said. But it's a catch-22. I recognize that. I'm sorry. But, you know, you might vow to say, in 2015, I will be mentally present. Or, I am going to be present spiritually. I'm not going to follow the false teachings. Or there was some nonsense that I've had in my life, and I'm going to drop that. I invite you to prayerfully discern how it is you are called to be present in 2015. Now the way you're going to fill these sheets out, because there's still confusion about this. I know, I'm trying something new. So it's a good thing I'm giving you 5 weeks before you have to turn it in. So you fill it out twice. And if you have to go to the back side of the paper, that's okay. You fill it out twice, and then you cut it in half, and you hand the church copy into the church, and I'll keep that, and then you keep the personal copy, and you just keep that where you can see it, where you'll be reminded of it on a regular basis, so that you can see. And then at some point during 2015, you're going to get a call. And I'll be on the other end of the phone, and I'm going to say, well, how's that going? How is that vow of presence going? Are you being present in church like you said you would? Are you going to those Sunday school classes? Are you going to the small group? Or are you going to Bible study like you said you would? Are you showing up? Are you distracted? And we're going to have a talk about your presence. I understand that probably nobody's ever asked you to do this before. So the first time you do something, it's a little anxiety-provoking, isn't it? It's the first time you do something, you can't get this wrong, okay? You can't. You just pray and say, this is what I believe I'm called to do, and we'll have a conversation from there. we'll have a conversation from there. And hopefully we'll grow in love of one another, and we will grow in our faithfulness to God as we discuss these matters of faith. And so I would invite you to pray with me now. Jesus, we come to you and we thank you for drawing us in. We thank you for calling us home. We thank you for always being faithful to us and for never giving up on us. And we give you glory. And God, we pray that we would constantly respond to your invitation of grace that says there's something deeper, that says there's something more. Please help us. Please be light in our life so that we might be light to others. In your name we pray. Amen.